Now we're holding on Zion over the day is about two-thirds or three-quarters of the way down the onward, turn it up on me. See 18 lines from the bottom. He must just turn it up on him. So we've been talking the last couple of dafim about making a mincha chometz and the various issues with that and what a person is and isn't hired for. By the way, as far as your question at the end about the minchas nesachim, first of all, in the end, the halacha paskin, the Rambam paskins like the understanding that with the shtei alechem there's an iser to make them chometz and a person wouldn't get malchus for doing that, whereas the minchas nesachim not, because as the Gemara had said, it's made peiros, and even if you mix it with water, and the Rambam actually adds a different point, if you mix it with water, then the Rambam learns that the Gemara is saying that it would be possible by virtue of mixing it with water, so then, in that case, then there's nothing to talk about as far as it becoming chometz anyhow. It comes out, in other words, even though we had said in the Gemara yesterday that we had a braisa where Rabbi Yosef really says there's an issur to make a minchas nesachim chometz, and Rabbi Akiva says the lechem aponim. And the Gemara had flipped around the opinions. The Rambam apparently learns that doesn't remain that way, l'maskana, and that in the end, the original braisa as we have it is correct. That Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that making the lechem aponim chometz is chayiv malchus for it. As far as your question about a kazayis of it, yes, I did see something saying that yes, if a person makes a kazayis of it chometz, he would in fact be chayiv malchus. Okay. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. So now we're going to talk more about Sa'ur, but not so much as the matter of making mincha chametz, but more generally about the issue where the Torah tells us we're not allowed to offer Sa'ur or Dvash on the Mizeach. So first of all, Tana Rabbanan, Ninayim Malam of Sarchatas and Sarah. So how do we know that if a person were to offer on the Mizeach, any of the meat of the chatos or the osham, or mitzvah kodshim kodshim or mikodshim kalim, or the meat of any of the kodshim kodshim or kodshim kalim, or the leftover of the omer after you take out the koymets from it, or mimosa shtei alechem, or the leftover of the shtei alechem. Now there are gusaris to take out the word moser, because by the shtei alechem you don't really have a moser. You take the levoina and burn it on the mizbeach, but the shtei alechem itself, there's nothing of them that's offered on the mizbeach such that it should be called a moser. So that said, there's explanations that, because after all, since we do have the Lavoina serves in place of the claimants of it, and in particular, Rashi learns in this Sugya that the whole issue we're talking about is after the part that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach is brought to the Mizbeach and burnt there. Well, then in that case, we can call the Shtei Alechem, not Shtei Alechem, we're not talking about Levoina, sorry, so yeah, Shtei Alechem, we're talking about the two Kvasim. Once the two Kvasim, once the blood is sprinkled, and the Murim are offered on the Mizbeach, then in effect the Shtei Alechem can be called Moser, because you have what needed to be burnt from that collective Korban on the Mizbeach was done, and now the Shtei Alechem themselves can be considered the Moser, even though nothing of them themselves goes on the Mizbeach. But that said, there are Gusaris to take out the word Moser and decide the Shtei Alechem. I'm posting water offer some of the shtei alechem on the mizbeach. Which, by the way, there's a good deal of discussion about the point. The braisa is going to be telling us that there's an iser mitzad. There's a lab to do that, because as we've learned before, kolshim menu l'ishin, whenever you have something that's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, whenever you have supposed to be korban where part of it is supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, then there's an iser to put any of the other part of it on the mizbeach. So here, for example, a chatas or an osham, to take the first two examples that we said in the Braisa, you have to offer certain parts of the chatas or osham on the mizbeach. The rest of it is not supposed to be, and that would be this issue of kosher mental issue. Now, when it comes to the shtei alechem, as it is the chometz, you're anyway not allowed to offer chometz on the mizbeach, so there's actually some discussion among achronim about why the Gemara is bringing up the point that a person would be chayav for offering the shtei alechem, any part of the shtei alechem on the mizbeach anyway, when it's chometz, you're not allowed to offer chometz on the mizbeach. So there's various points various possibilities that Acronym bring up. Revolver Brisker brings up a point, the Revolver Brisker brings, and the Chaskinov says of a similar point, that suppose he puts it on the Mizeach, as we learned in Zvachim Lashem Eitzim, he has in mind that it's wood. So then there wouldn't be an Isser of Chometz, but there would still be the Isser of Kolshem Menelishim. So if he does that, or we lacham upon him, or he takes some of the lacham upon him and puts it on a mizbeach, or mishiorei menachas, or the leftover of the menachas after the kohenitz was taken, how do we know in all those cases shuva loisaseh? And in all those cases he's over on a loisaseh. Tamad loyma. Therefore, the pasuk says ki cholsa over hold of ash. All leaven and all honey, you should not bring of it as a fire offering for Hashem. Meaning, we learn from that also, the pasuk is saying, don't offer from it, implying that you're talking about a korban where something of it has already been brought on the Mizbeach, something where you have part of the korban has to have been burnt on the Mizbeach, and was in fact burnt, or in the case of the Shtei Lechem, or the Lechem Aponim, you don't have them themselves, but you have the accompanying things that go with them, the Lavoina for the Lechem Aponim, the Shnei Kvasim for the Shtei Lechem. Without taktiru, then there's an issur in the Torah to offer those on the to offer those on the Mizbeach. Now Rashi mentions over here and in other relevant sugyas that this applies only after that part was burnt on the Mizbeach. So according to Rashi, for example, let's say with a chatas, if you were to take a complete chatas before the emurim had been taken out and burn the whole thing on the Mizbeach, then according to Rashi, a person wouldn't be over on that issur. Only after the emurim were taken out and burnt on the Mizbeach, then if he offers any of the other part of it on the Mizbeach, then he's over on this issur. On the other hand, Tosfos in Zvachim learns that not, that he'd be chayav either way. A whole other relevant shitta on this actually is the Rambam's, where the Rambam learns that the Rambam learns essentially that the Isser is not so. There is in fact an Isser of offering something on the Mizbeach that on the Mizbeach that doesn't belong there, but on the other hand, the Rambam doesn't learn that there's an actual lav, that there's a lav in there. He doesn't learn that it's Chayav Malkus. So he learns, he says it's also in Piyah Shmua, but he doesn't hold his Malkus from it. What he says is the Isser is that, Sfasemis at least explains, the Rambam learns that it means that if you take any of these things together with Sa'ur or together with Dvash, then he would get Malkus, and the Rambam writes, then he's Chayav Malkus. But in other words, if he just burns, for example, a piece of a Chatas on the Mizbeach, which he's not supposed to, he's over on this Isser, but nevertheless, the Rambam would learn that the Isser, that the lav does not include that. So the Gemara asks, the Shteya Lechem, the Lechem Aponim, Yeshman, and Ishim, how are we calling the Shteya Lechem and the Lechem Aponim something of which part of them goes on the fire of the Mizbeach? Well, Tanya, we learn in another Braisa, the Braisa talks about, and a couple, we'll have it in a couple of Dafim, that talks about the concept of Hagosha, the fact that you have the Mincha, you have to take, before you take the Kermit, you have to take the Keli that contains the Mincha and touch it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. So the Braisa discusses over there how we know which menachas require that, and then it ends up saying yotzu shtei lechem v'lechem aponim, that by a limud over there that we're going to learn in a couple of dafim, we learn that not the shtei lechem and not the lechem aponim she'in mehem le'ishim, because nothing of them goes on the fire of the mizbeach. So you see, it's not considered that they go, that something of them goes in the fire. So why over here are we calling it kol shel mimenu le'ishim, something where some of it goes into the fire? And the answer is, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ein Migufei Deishin. Fine, but what it means is the Shtei Lechem and Lechem Aponim, they themselves don't have something that goes into the fire. There's something that's a part of the larger korban, Shnei Kvasim in the case of the Shtei Lechem, the Levoina in the case of Lechem Aponim, that goes on the Mizbeach. But the mincha more narrowly defined does not, and therefore when we're talking about Hagosha, when we're talking about taking the mincha itself and touching it to the Mizbeach, then the Gemara can say later that doesn't apply to these, because nothing of the mincha itself narrowly defined goes on to the Mizbeach. What this little piece had to do over here is not so clear, maybe because we were talking about up until now the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Lechem, so therefore maybe the Gemara mentioned this point as well. Okay. Okay, so now let's continue on a related point. Itmar, hamalim kulam al gabei kevesh. Suppose a person brings any of these things that we just said, b'sar chatos, b'sar arshan, or the whole list of things in the b'raisa. Suppose a person puts it not on the mizbeach itself, but puts it on the kevesh, on the ramp of the mizbeach. Rabbi Gershom learns over here, we're talking about just bringing it up there, would already be chayev, and Achronim discuss why that should be. The other way of looking at it, though, is Tosfos elsewhere explains we're talking about, in fact, as far as burning it on the kevesh, and Rashi seems to imply that as well, because Rashi uses the expression that he brings one of these chayav ki'ilu ha'lo al mizbeach as though he's brought it up onto the mizbeach, meaning, in other words, as though he burnt it on the mizbeach of Achshus. Anyway, so now if he brings them onto the kevesh, so either, as the case may be, either he doesn't burn them there according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, or he does burn them there according to the implication of Rashi and according to Tosfos. So, Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Chayev, Rabbi Yochanan says he's going to be Chayev just as if he brought it onto the Mizbeach itself. Rabbi Loza on the Potter. Rabbi Loza says he'll be Potter. Why? Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Chayev, Titania, because the Braisa continues talking about this Pasuk with Kolshin Menel Ishim. The Pasuk says, now the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says that you can bring Sa'ur and Vash as Korban Rashis, as a first Korban, namely the Shea Lechem, or the first Korban of the wheat of that year's grain crop, and the Bikurim are the first fruits of that year. Neither of them are brought onto the Mizbeach, but both of them are brought to the Azara and brought as Porter as a Korban. So now, when the Pasuk says, Ve'al Mizbeach lo yalu, the Pasuk says they should not go up onto the Mizbeach, so when it says Mizbeach, Amiel, Evni Ela Mizbeach. So you would only know from the word Mizbeach that it means if you bring them onto the Mizbeach itself. Kevesh Minayin, how do we know a person's Chayev also if he brings it onto the Kevesh? Tamad Lema, Ve'el HaMizbeach Lo Yalu. Therefore it says, and to the Mizbeach, you should not bring them. So we're learning from once it says you can't burn them, then it doesn't need to say Alam is Be'ach L'Yalu, so therefore it means you can't bring them onto the Kevesh even. Okay, or it could be the Ribui is from the Hay of Ham is Be'ach, whatever, therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, based on that Braisa, very clearly, a person is Chayiv, he brings it up to the Kevesh. Tosfos discusses that there are other places in Shas, including in Zvachim, where it seems to imply that the Kevesh is automatically part of the Mizbeach anyway, and you don't even need a separate ribui for that. Why over here do you do? So Tosfos gets into that point a little bit. Also, Tosfos points out, we learned in Zvachim that there was an opinion over there that said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the floor of the Azara is actually a kosher place to bring korbanos as well. We have the whole discussion over there how, in Shloima's times, when they brought an enormous number of korbanos for the Chanukah Sabbais, did they have room for them on the Mizbeach or not? And Rabbi Yehuda had learned over there that actually Shloima made the entire floor of the Azara kodesh to bring korbanos on. But Tosfos points out, first of all, here we're talking about the Mishkan and the Mishkan as well, where that hadn't happened yet. Therefore, the Gemara is focusing only on the Mizbeach and the Kevesh. And second of all, even Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say, he would say that you could burn kosher korbanos on the floor and your yotze that way. He wouldn't hold that psulim or niskadish by virtue of being on the floor. Otherwise, there'd be no problem putting them on the Mizbeach. And of course, we know you don't do that. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Yochanan says that, so in short, Rabbi Yochanan says that we see from this Benaisa that yes, a person is chayav for putting them on the Kevesh as well. Rabbi Loza Amar Potter. Now, why does Rabbi Loza say that he's Potter, my timer? He says to Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says Sa'ur Dvash, the Pasuk mentions you're not allowed to bring sourdough, or chametz in general, and honey. And then the pasuk continues, korban reishis takrivu oisam. You can bring them as a first fruits korban. Namely, again, you bring them as shtei alechem and bikurim respectively. Oisam from the word oisam, we learn it's a meal. Oisam hu derabi lach kevesh kam izbeach. Only with those things themselves, sa'ur and dvash, is there an issue to also bring them up to the kevesh. Avam midia achrin aloi, but other things not. So therefore, when it comes to the issue that we're talking about, kosher menel ishim, you're not talking about an issue of sa'or dvash. You're talking about that it was the meat of a chatos or osham or any of the other things that the braisa listed before, which are supposed to stay off the mizbeach, because only parts of those korbanos are supposed to go on the mizbeach, the emurim, and then the rest of it is supposed to be eaten by the kohenim or whatever other is supposed to be done with the individual korban. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Elazar, the miut and the pasuk means that the issue of sa'or and of putting sa'or and dvash on the kevesh of the mizbeach applies only to those and not to kosher menel ishim. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan hai oisam mai avadlei. Well, then what is Rabbi Yochanan doing with the word oisam? Tosfos points out the Gemara could give an answer that the Gemara could give an answer, which we learned in Zvachim, that you could bring them l'shein eitzim, like we talked about a few minutes ago. Like you could bring them having in mind that they're firewood and not as an actual korban. We talked about this in Zvachim in connection with when you have limbs of korbanos mixed up, for example, limbs of an ola and of a hatas, and you don't know what to do with them. So then we said we learned over there the possibility that you can burn them all on the mizbeach and have in mind whichever ones don't belong over there should be considered like wood. So the Gemara could have said that. So the Gemara could have answered that Rabbi Yochanan is learning that from the word oisam. However, the Tosfos in Zvachim over there explains that Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara wants to explain Rabbi Yochanan. Now you have the Machlokas, Rabbi Yezer, and the Chachamim in the Mishnayos over there in Zvachim, whether this rule that you could pretend that they're eitzim applies to everything, or does it apply? Rabbi Yezer's Tafa says that Rabbi Yezer says only Sa'ur and Dvash can you do that, not other things, or the other way around. The Chachamim say only Sa'ur and Dvash you could do that, not other things. So the Gemara wants to find for Rabbi Yochanan according to all opinions. Okay, so then So then, what would he do with the word oisa? And the answer is mibarla the chedetani. He uses it to teach us what it says in a braisa. You would think when it comes to the Shealachem that a Yochid should be able to bring a korban of his own like that. He should be able to say a neder or a dava, I want to bring Shealachem. And it would work. And he should have to bring it for Korani Ramotis Fasah Tishma Vasisa. And you would apply to it the pasuk that what comes out of your mouth, you have to observe and you have to do. So then, in other words, we would say that he would say that I'm going to bring a Shealachem of my own. Then maybe he should be allowed to bring it. Talmud Lema, no, therefore the pasuk says korban reishis takriv ru. You plural should bring a korban reishis. That implies only the tzibur brings it, not the yochin. Tosfos points out, by the way, that Rabbi Lazar is not going to be bothered by the fact that the Braisa is using the word oisam for that, because the Gemara explains there in Zvachim that he can actually learn both dinim from it. He can learn that you can't bring anything onto the kevesh, not even kosher and elishim, as well as he can also learn this din that a yochid can't bring, we haven't gotten to the oisam yet, but we're going to say that the tzibur can't bring it as an endava either, which we're going to learn from the word oisam, so he can learn that as well from it. Okay, so first of all, korban reishis takrivu, tzibur amar to l'chav ala yochid, only tzibur brings a shtei alechem, the yochid does not. Now, continues the braisa, yochol lo yehi yochid mevi. Now you would think, fine, a yochid is not able to bring shtei alechem on his own. Because you don't have any case where he's required to bring that type of korban. You could say, in other words, and we've learned about this concept earlier in this Masechta, that, for example, a yochid sometimes is required to bring an ola, for example, a woman who gave birth, or a mitzvah, or a nazir, etc. So therefore, you can also have that they can bring an ola voluntarily. A yochid sometimes has to bring a shlomim, such as a nazir, therefore you can bring a shlomim voluntarily. So you could say that the rule would be whenever you have an obligatory korban for him, then he can bring the same korban as an optional thing as well. So fine, you could say then that the yochid is not, you don't ever find where a yochid is required to bring shtei alechem, and therefore he doesn't have the option of doing it. Avo yehi tzibur maybe, but you could argue that the tzibur should be allowed to bring them as an adava, because after all, they are bringing it as a required thing on Shavuos. They have to bring a shtei alechem. Maybe some other time during the year as well, they could bring it. The Keren Ora discusses, with shtei alechem, we're not offering anything on Mizbeach, then what are they bringing it as an adava for? And if it means with the Shalmei Tzibur, then the Tzibur can't bring Shalmei Nedava. So he ends up answering that, you know what, we learned earlier in the previous parak, you had the opinion that you can bring the Shtei Alechem without the Kvasim. We said according to Rabbi Akiva, you can bring the Shtei Alechem without having the Kvasim with them. So then in that case, fine, they could be offering the Shtei, they can't be offering the Kvasim, fine, because they can't offer Shalmei Nedava, but they could be offering the Shtei Alechem. What would it be considered offering? Fine, that's a question. In any case, so how do we know maybe that Tzibur can do that? Tabalema oisam, and that is why the pasuk says oisam, to say only those things that are mentioned in the pasuk, the shtei alechem, only the ones that are brought on Shavuos, and not any other, they can't bring it voluntarily any time during the year. Well, ma yesh l'chol ahavi. So what are you including in what are you including based on that phrase? Rashi says that actually the original Braisa that the Gemara is quoting from in Teras Koyanin and Sifra does not have these words. Rashi says if we have them in the Gemara over here, what it means is, in other words, what can we say? What kind of things of korban rishis are brought as a choiva? So what does that mean? Shteh lechem min asor bikurim min advash. It means you bring the shteh lechem of chometz bread, and you bring bikurim of sweet fruit, which includes honey. You have the shiva seminim, a board of any of the shiva seminim, including in particular, it can include dates from which you get a type of honey, but the other ones as well are sweet, have sweet juices in them, which are also included in the, in the definition of honey. So we're saying you have to bring them, but lo yikrivu nedava, but Sibur cannot offer them as a nedava. So Rabbi Yochanan is using the word osam to learn this concept that the Ksibur does not bring a shtei lechem as an adava. Meanwhile, as Tosfa says, Rabbi Lazar will say that you can learn that, but you can also learn the point that when you have kosher menel to ishim, that you're also not allowed to put it on the kedush. Well, the Gemara says, shtei lechem lo yikrivu nedava. Are you telling me that you can't bring shtei lechem as an adava? We're going to quote a braisa now, and once we analyze it, then we're going to see. Based on analyzing it, on the face of it, it's going to be telling us that it is possible to bring shtei lechem as an adava. Namely, v'hatanya, we learn in another braisa. The pasuk is ki chol sa'ur v'chol dvash. Now, im nema kol sa'ur, lema nema kol drash. Im nema kol drash, lema nema kol sa'ur. Why does it have to say kol by both of them? Rashi explains, once it says kol dvash, and it means, as we're going to learn further on in the Gemara, it means that even less than a koimetz of honey, you're not allowed to offer on the mizbeach, then why does it need to say kol sa'ur? We should be able to learn it from dvash. Or, Rashi says, the other possibility, it could have said, ki kol sa'ur, or dvash, and we would say, just like kol, the kol that applies to sa'ur, also applies to dvash. So why does it need to say kol separately by each one of them? So the Braisa says like this, Mekneshi yesh b'sa'ur, masha'in b'dvash, yesh b'dvash, masha'in b'sa'ur. The reason is because when it comes to dvash, the honey or fruit juice in general, sa'ur has a quality in it that dvash doesn't, and vice versa, when it comes to the korbanos. Namely, sa'ur hucha mikloli b'mikdash. When it comes to sa'ur, when it comes to chometz, there are exceptions to it. There are certain korbanos where you bring sa'ur in the where you bring sa'ur. On the face of it, it means that there's a case where we actually offer chometz on the mizbeach. Now we know it's not so, but we're going to get to it in a minute. What does that mean? So sa'ur has an exception. Dvash lehuta mekol b'miklas. Whereas when it comes to honey, you never have an exception. There's no korban that contains honey. You bring bikurim, but you don't put them on the mizbeach. On the other hand, dvash hucha b'shiorim menachos. On the other hand, honey is mutter to be mixed with the shiorim menachos. Now, we've been talking the last couple of dafim that you can't make the shiorim, you can't make the mincha or any part of it, even the shirayim chometz. However, once the chometz has been offered and the kohenim are eating the shiorim mincha, they're allowed, if they want, to mix it with honey. Because it actually explains all the matnas kahuna and the leftover the shirayim of the mincha, one of the matnas kahuna, the kohenim are allowed to eat them as the pasuk says l'moshva in a way of honor, in a way of gedula, kederach shamalachim oifim, the way kings eat it, and kings have no problem putting honey or other sweeteners into their food. So the same way the kohenim are allowed to add honey or other sweeteners to the mincha and bake it and eat it that way. Whereas we've been saying the last couple of datum that they can't make a chometz. So we see that dvash has a characteristic that sa'ur doesn't have. So because of that, so on the other hand, sa'ur lo hutu b'shiorim menachos. On the other hand, sa'ur is not mutter when it comes to leftovers of the menachos, as we've been talking about the last couple of datum. So because honey and sa'ur each have a quality and an exception when it comes to korbanos that the other ones have, therefore the Torah has to spell it out and say kol sa'ur and kol dvash. So meaning that outside of those exceptions, you cannot bring any sa'ur or any dvash on the mizbeach. Now, so thus far the Braisa. So let's consider. Sa'ur dehotim pulag mikdash mayninu. When we say that there's an exception where sa'ur is allowed in the mikdash, now we don't just mean, in other words, that it's brought. And that it's brought into the mismikdash, because the fact is, it's still not brought on the mizbeach. The Torah is not telling you don't ever bring a korban of sa'ur. It's saying don't ever bring a korban of sa'ur on the mizbeach. So, but if you're telling me that there's an exception, you're allowed to bring sa'ur on the mizbeach. So what would that be? Mainu, what would that be? Lav shtei alechem the korban adava. Presumably that would be if shtei alechem are being brought as an adava. Now, the ones that are being brought as chayva, the ones that are being brought as the obligation on Shavuos, of course, are not being offered on the mizbeach. But on the face of it, the Braise is implying that during any time during the year, it would be possible for the tzibur to be bringing any time during the year, the tzibur could conceivably be bringing a shtei alechem. And if they did, then the Braise seems to be implying that they could actually be offered on the mizbeach. So in that case, we could see not only that a shtei alechem can be brought with a dava, but even that part of it might be offered on the mizbeach. The answer is Amram says loy. That's not what the braisa means. What he means is likrav imahem. What he means is likrav of the korev, whatever imahem. What is offered with them, meaning the shtei alechem come as we learned extensively in the previous parak, come with shnei kvasim. Those are offered on the mizbeach. So that's considered huto miklavai, because we learned earlier that the kvasim and the lechem in effect are considered kind of the same thing. So therefore we can call it that part of the extended korban does go on the mizbeach. But no, right, we don't ever mean that there is any part of any chametz that goes on the mizbeach. And therefore, when the braisa is saying there's an exception with sa'ur, all it means is there's an exception where the extended korban that includes sa'ur, where some part of it, namely the imurim of the shnei kvasim, go on the mizbeach. That doesn't mean that there should ever be a time during the rest of the year when the tzibur can bring a shtei alechem together with shnei kvasim as an adava, because in particular they can't bring a shlomim as an adava. There's no such thing as a shlomim of a tzibur outside of the ones of Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Ihochi, well, if that's what it means, if we're talking about not the korban itself, but rather what accompanies it, then what about Bikurim Nami? Then you can ask, what about the Bikurim? The Bikurim, again, those contain Dvash, and we're saying that none of them goes on the Mizbeach. The only exception we could find of Dvash is that after the Kohenim take the Shurim Menachos and are ready to eat them, they can mix them with honey. But when it comes to the Bikurim, they're also accompanied by Korbanos. If you're going to tell me that the accompanying Korbanos make it considered that part of that thing itself went on the Mizbeach, we're saying that Shtei Alechem, offering the Shnei Kvasim, is considered tantamount to offering the Shtei Alechem themselves, and therefore we see that the only time you can do that is Shavuos, there's no other exception. Well, then by the same token, Bikurim come with Korbanos, and therefore we should consider that Bikurim also, in a certain sense, go on the mizbeach. So ditznan, namely we learn in a Mishnah. The Mishnah and Bikurim describes the whole procession, how everybody would come to bring their Bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. And the Mishnah describes how gozlos shargabe asalin, they had young pigeons that they would bring on top of the baskets. Hoyu oilus, they would bring those pigeons as oilus. Namely, they would bring along with the basket with the fruit for the shtei alechem. They would also bring birds and offer them as oilus. Basalam shabi yadam nitonim lakoinim. And the baskets that are in the hands of the people are given to the kohenim, because those we have the whole procedure where it says over there that they wave the bikurim, and then they give them, and then they say the whole declaration over there, gamti ayin lasham al kafah, and all the psukim over there, arami obadavi, and then they give it to the kohenim. So we see that they were accompanied by birds as a korban. There's a different gears. The printed Mishnah doesn't have the word vasal shabiyodim. It just says v'shabiyodim. Or actually, the Mishnayos have umashabiyodim. The other gears in our Gemara over here is v'shabiyodim, which amounts to the same thing. What's in their hands? The Rambam learns that what it means is they would bring birds in two different ways. They would bring the Mefoshim on the Rambam explain. That Anam says they would be bringing birds in their hands, and also they would have other birds that are brought hanging off the baskets. So then what they would do is, that Anam learns that the ones that are hanging off the baskets, they would bring as olas, the ones that they brought by hand, they would give to the Kohenim. Where the Raivid disagrees and says the Raivid disagrees. There's nothing. There's no other birds there except for the ones that are hanging from the baskets. And therefore, what it means is Shabbat Yadam Nitin Lakayanim would mean the basket of Bikurim is given to the Kayanim and the birds are brought as Arvas. So two different shittas between Rashi and the Raivid on the one hand and the Rambam on the other. Were there other birds besides the ones hanging off the baskets that were brought as Arvas? In any case, the point is we see that the Bikurim that they brought birds as Arvas together with the Bikurim. So if you're going to tell me that with the Shtei Alechem, we consider that even though none of the Shtei Alechem itself goes on the Mizbeach, but the accompanying Korbanos make it considered as though it was, well then by the same logic with the Bikurim, you would also say that it's considered that some of them goes on the Mizbeach. And yet in the Braisa, we brought before, the only example that it could find as far as an exception with Dvash was the fact that you can put Dvash that you can put honey in the Shiorim Menachos. So what is it? So the answer is Hanu La'atu Bikurim Hudasu. The answer is those birds are not. You're not required to bring those birds. You bring them in order to decorate the Bikurim basket. You want to have you want to do the mitzvah in the nicest possible way. Therefore, you decorate it with birds, and then when you bring those birds, then you bring them as korbanos. But you're not actually required to bring those birds as a korban. Now Rashi points out though the Mishnah in Bikurim does say that Bikurim do require a korban along with them. So in that case, Bikurim do require a korban. So Rashi brings from the Yerushalmi on Bikurim. Bikurim is the last masechta of Seder Zeroyim. Most of Seder Zeroyim doesn't have Bavli, but doesn't have Gemara Bavli, but all of it has Gemara Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi explains you have to bring a korban means you have to bring a shlomim. But the fact is, you do have to bring sometime before you leave Yerushalayim, after having brought your Bikurim, you have to bring a shlomim. But it's not intrinsically tied to the korban in the sense that you don't have to necessarily when you bring your bikurim, you have to have a korban along with it. It just means during the time that you're in Yerushalayim bring those bikurim, then you also need to bring a shlomim. So we can correctly say then that Bikurim don't have specifically an accompanying korban. If you decorate your baskets with birds, then you bring those birds as korbanos. And sometime while you're in your shlomim, you have to bring a shlomim. But the Bikurim themselves are not necessarily tied to a korban, as opposed to the Shtei Alechem are tied to the Shnei Kvasim. More on this topic of kosher menel ishim. Boi Rami Bahama mena chista. Rami Bahama asks Rav Chista. We've been talking all this time about again that you have a part of a korban which is offered on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to offer any other part of the korban on the mizbeach. What about hamalim of chatas oif? Mahu. What about if a person were to take some of the meat of the chatas oif and offer it on the mizbeach? Mahu? What would be the din? Now, as we learned in Zvachim, with a chatas ha'oif, the only thing that's supposed to go over on the mizbeach is the blood of it. You take you the kohen does malika to the bird. He squirts the blood from a distance onto the wall of the mizbeach. He presses it out to get more of the blood out, and then the kohenim eat the rest of the and then the kohenim eat the whole thing. So now, if you were to take some of that meat and offer it on the mizbeach, mahu? What would be the din? The question is, koshen menel ishim amar achmana. On the one hand, the Torah is telling us anything where part of it goes onto the fire of the mizbeach. Now, that would imply only when it's something where something goes into the fire. V'hai enu menel ishim. Now, when it comes to the chatas ha'oif, none of it goes into the fire. Because again, the only thing that goes out of it onto the mizbeach is the blood, and the blood's not going into the fire. It's going on the wall of the mizbeach. Oy dum a koshen shmoy korban. Or maybe it would apply to anything which is called a korban. Because after all, I mean, the expression in the pasuk is korban reishis. You should bring a first korban of namely the shtei alechem and the bikurim. And we learn from that, and then in other words, the pasuk says loisach tinui menu isha l'Hashem, and then the next pasuk begins with the word korban. So maybe we should darshan the word korban as belonging to the previous pasuk, as if it belonged to the previous pasuk. So kichos loisach tinui menu isha l'Hashem korban. So don't offer as a fire offering to Hashem as a korban anything which is called a korban and which doesn't belong on the mizbeach, which therefore would include the chakas ha'oif as well. Behind nami korban, because this thing, after all, a korban ha'oif is also a korban. Omalei, so if Chista answers kol sheshmoy korban, it does mean, like your second possibility, anything which is called a korban, behind nami shmoy korban, well then a chakas ha'oif is also called by the name korban, therefore yes, the issue would apply to it as well, and you can't take a chatzos oif and burn it, and if a person does take a chatzos oif and burns it over there, then he's also over on this. Then he's also over on this issur. Or as we talked before about the Sfas Emes's understanding of the Rambam, that the issur is only when he mixes it with seor and dvash. So then the same thing. In other words, if he were to take meat, if he were to take meat of a chatzos oif and put it together with seor, together with dvash, and burn it on his there, then it would be chayiv malchus. The Gemara points out Ketanoi. There's actually a Machlokas Tanoim on this. Rabbi Eliezer Oy Mekoshim Menol Ishim. Rabbi Eliezer says that it applies to any korban where part of it is burnt on a mizbeah. So therefore, according to him, it wouldn't apply to a chatas oif. Rabbi Akiva Oy Mekoshim Shmoy Korban. Rabbi Akiva says, like Rav Chista said, anything which is called a korban, so therefore would include a bird as well. Well, the Gemara says, my benai. What's the actual difference between them? So the Gemara answers, Omer of Chista, that's exactly it. The argument between them would be precisely this case when a person takes a chatas oif and burns an anonymous there. Is he over on this Isser or not? And then there's also the possibility that we could be talking about, let's say, for example, we talked about earlier in the Mestech, again, we talked in the previous paragraph, pointed out Akiva, that you could sometimes have Shtei Alechem without Kvasim. We said that you could still bring the Shtei Alechem. So then it's also, there's nothing Mimenu Le'ishim, none of it goes on the fire of the Mizbeach. So maybe then would he be Chayev if he offered some of the Shtei Alechem on the Mizbeach? He'd be Chayev anyway, again, because we said before, because of Sa'ur, but conceivably he could be Potter from that if he does it L'shem Eitzim, having in mind that it's firewood, but would he be Chayev or would he not? Because there's nothing of it that goes on the fire. Rav Chista says that's one way of understanding that the naftamina between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Would a person be chayev for offering a chatas ha'oif on the mizbeach? On the one hand, again, there's nothing of it that goes in the fire. On the other hand, it is called a korban. Rav Omar, Rav gives a different answer. Loig shem and shem mitzurda ikabinayu. The argument between them would be about the loig of oil that the mitzurda brings together with his korbanus. The Kohen takes it and sprinkles it seven times in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then he applies it to the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe, he applies more of it to the Mitzvah's head, and then the rest of it the Kohenim eat. So now, again, if we were to take that Loit Shemen and offer it on the Mizbeach, then he would have the Machloikas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yezer, whether he's Chayev or not. And we know it's called a korban. Now, where again, on the one hand, nothing of it goes on the mizbeach. On the other hand, it's called a korban. The Tony Levi, as we know, as Levi teaches in Ebraisa, when the pasuk in Parshas Korach lists the matnas kohuna, all the gifts that are given, the 24 gifts that are given to the kohenim, and the pasuk says kol korbanim, all their korban, that means the rabbis loig shem and shem mitzora, that comes to include the loig of oil of the mitzora, that also the kohenim have the shirayim of it, just like the shirayim of a mincha. So therefore, again, the question would be, on the one hand, it's called a korban. On the other hand, nothing of it is offered on the mizbeach. So would he be chayev? Rashi points out, wait a minute, didn't we say before that when something is accompanied by a korban, then it's considered part of the korban, and the loy shemen comes together with the osham of the mitzvah? So again, Rashi explains, the difference is we've learned previously in our Masechta, that the Mitzvah could bring his Korbanus, including his Osham, and not bring the Loit Shemen with them now, and he'll bring his Loit Shemen another to him, even 10 days later. So therefore, it can't be called Yesh, it can't be called Yesh Menor Leishim. And now Tosfos points out that you could say the same thing about the Shtei Alechem then. Sometimes you don't have to cross them with them, as we learned before. But still, where you have them, you have to bring them together. And also, as we learned in the previous perek, once they were brought together, you can't change them. As we talked about previously, after the shchita, after the zrik or whatever, then you can't change them anymore. As opposed to here with the loig shemen, only the mayor would hold in that sugya that once you shech the osham, then the loig shemen is established, that it has to be now brought together with the korban, but everybody else disagrees with him, and therefore the loig shemen cannot be considered so closely tied together to the korban. Next, More on this topic of Sa'ur and Dvash, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says Sa'ur Bal Taktiru, the Torah says, do not offer Sa'ur on the Mizbeach. Bal, the Torah actually says Lois Taktiru, but it's very common. In fact, the Gerus HaBak changes is that it's a Bal is a in Tanakh, Bal is a rare word, a somewhat rare word that's used to mean not. Like Tevasi Bal Alecha in Tilav and Kapitol Tazayin. In Lashon Chazal, it's used more commonly sometimes in place of when it says don't do something, Bal Taktiru means more clearly don't do it. But Rambam points out actually in his Shoshim to Sefer HaMitzvos that sometimes in Lashon Kodesh the word loy doesn't mean don't. Sometimes it can mean it cannot be done or something like that, or it is not or whatever. So maybe because of that, Chazal sometimes like to use the word bal to make it clear. It's not just loy septiru, it can't be brought, but bal septiru, do not offer it. Do not bring it. Anyway, when the Torah says that you're not allowed to offer sir, in the Elakuloi, you would only know from that that if he offers that if he offers the whole thing. What do I mean by the whole thing? We're going to explain in a minute. Mitzvaseminayin, how do we know a person is over even if he only does part of it? Tamabana kol, therefore the person says kol sa'ur. Eruveminayin, what about if he mixes sa'ur together with non sa'ur? He mixes sa'ur together with matzah. Now, of course, you leave them long enough, the matzah will become sa'ur. If it's not baked, the matzah will become chametz as well. But we're talking about, let's say he did it within the 18 minutes. Let's say the matzah was already baked. So how would we know that he's also over? Tavadlema ki chol. So because the word ki comes to add, even if he mixed together the sa'ur, which is allowed to go on the mizbeach, then it's still also. So the question is, my trauma. What does the braisa mean? What do you mean the whole thing and what do you mean part of the thing? I'm going to buy a hofakama. It means like this. Sa'ur bal taktiru. You're not allowed to offer sa'ur on the mizbeach. Ein li ela kezayis. Now, you would only know if he's offering at least a kezayis. If he's offering at least a kezayis, which would be a koymetz, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Now, buy a holds that a koymetz can be less than two kezayisim. So, therefore, the minimum would be a kezayis, or a little over a kezayis. So if he offers a kezayis, then we know that he'd be chayim. It still has to be, Olas Shlomo points out, it still has to be, even Rabbi is going to say soon, it can be less than two kezayisim, even he agrees it has to be at least a kezayis in size. So therefore, he uses the expression kezayis. So if he offers a kezayis of chometz, then yet of sa'ur, then he's chayev. Chatzi zayis minayin, how we know he's chayev, even if he offers a half of a kezayis. Tamalama kol sa'ur, tamalama kol, therefore the pasuk says, therefore the pasuk says kol. And a ruvim minayin. How we know if you mix it with different matzah? Tamalama ki kol. So according to Abaya, then when it says koloi versus mitzase means a complete kezayis versus less than a kezayis. Tosfos brings up a point in this connection when we're mentioning a ruvin over here. You have a concept in halacha called heter mitzaref le'isur. Sometimes we can say that you have a certain amount of isur, less than enough to make up the shiur, and then you have more heter with it. The heter itself will be combined to make up the complete shiur. The Gemara mentions in Pesachim that works only by a nozir. So, for example, a nozir, let's say, eats a nozir is not allowed to eat grapes. If he eats half a kezayis of grapes together with half a kezayis of something else, then we'll say he's chayev. Or if he dips the example the Gemara gives over there is he dips bread in wine, and then between the bread and the wine that it absorbed, you have a complete kezayis. And the Gemara says over there that the Iri says over there that the same thing as far as this issue of lois satir, of not to burn it. So Tosfos points out that the Gemara is saying that we learn it over there from the word kol, but here we're saying that no, you learn Abaya is saying even if it's only half a kezayis, you learn from the word kol, not from this matter of a mixture, which Abaya and Rava are both going to say over here. We learn from ki kol. Tosfos discusses that point that according to Ze'iri, where we say that by the Isser of Sa'ur and the Isser of Dvash, we do say Hetem Estarif Le'Isser. How is it it would fit with Rava's opinion that we're going to say in a moment? So you would do a complete kezayis, but it's only half of a koymetz. And then when we say ki kol, we mean even if it's less than a kezayis. So Abaya says that from kol we learn even if it's less than a kezayis, and from ki kol we learn even if it's mixed with other things. even if it's mixed with things that are mutter, to go on the Mizbeach. Rav Amar, Rav learns differently. Hafez Karmah, Sa'ur Bal Taktiru. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to offer Sa'ur. Only a koimetz. From that, you would know only a complete koimetz, which, as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, Rava holds that a koimetz is much larger than a kazayis. The minimum is two kazaysim. So only a koimetz. Chatzi koimetz minayin. How do we know? Rava says if it's less than a koimetz, tamad lema kol. Therefore, the pasuk says kol. A ruvi minayin. How do we know? Even if you mix the koimetz together with something else, which is mutu to go on the mizbeach, tamad lema ki kol. Therefore, the pasuk says ki kol, from which we learn also tarovus. So here's where Tosfos points out that again you could be talking about over here that the opinion that opinion in Pesachim, that opinion of Ze'iri that says that Heter Mitzkarif Le'Isir in this case would mean according to Rava you have less than a Kazayas, he'd still be Chayev if there's more, if there's Heter with a Ruvim Minayin would mean when you have a half Kazayas of Chometz mixed with a half Kazayas of Matzah, then he would be Chayev for the whole thing, even though you don't have a complete kazayis of Isur. Tosfos also says though that it would have to mean where it's so thoroughly mixed that Rashi explains in the sugya over here that eruva means where it's mixed and you can't tell which is which. Tosfos is saying that no, it doesn't have to be that it could be that it's nicker. We're talking about over here just that it is nicker, but nevertheless it's not bottle and hetzer mitzaref le'isur according to one opinion. Okay, so the Gemara says b'mayfum mitzvah. What is the underlying machloekas Abaya and Rava? So Abaya suffer yesh koymetz pachas mishnei zaysin. Abaya holds that a koymetz could conceivably be less than two kazaysin. So therefore, there's no way that, so therefore, since the minimum shear of anything in the Torah is a kazayis, therefore we have to say that the kol means in this case even less than a kazayis. And then the key kol would mean even when it's mixed with something else. So therefore, in short, in other words, in this case, he would be chayev even for offering less than a kazayis. On the other hand, Rava says a koimetz is always a minimum of two kazesim, which we already had this point earlier in the Masechta about whether in fact a koimetz can be less than two kazesim or not. So now they say you have the same machlokas, the enak torah pulsim kazayis. However, you never consider bruning to be also less than a kazayis. So therefore, according to Rava, according to Abaya, the two stages are, the first stage teaches us even less than a kazayis, and the second one teaches us even if it's less than a kazayis and mixed with heter. And according to Rava, the two stages are from the words kol and ki respectively, is that it's as long as it's at least a kazayis, it can't be. First, it would be of course the whole koimetz. Then, even if it's only a kazayis, which is not a complete koimetz, and then if it's less than a kazayis, but only if it's mixed with heter. To make up a complete kazayis, and otherwise he would be potter. Tosfos has more discussion about this point, whereas Abaya get that a person should be chayev for less than half kazayis. Maybe it means a kazayis, even though it's not the full size of a koimetz, and Tosfos discusses that point, and we learned in Zvachim that a kazayis offered outside of Beis Mikdash is enough to be mechayev him, but less than a kazayis is then not. So don't we see that in general there has to be burning as a minimum of a kazayis, but so Tosfos discusses several possibilities in that. So now Itmar. So now another point. Another point that's discussed in this connection. The Rambam actually has a different understanding of the sugya. The Rambam paskens that Einat Torah posim mikazayis, but the Rambam also says that a person is over for offering less than the shear of Sa'ur and Dvash. So in other words, the idea would be that it has to be that he's doing a kazayis. So now again, like Tosfos is saying, heter mitzaref le'isur, and we would say that if he, as long as he's doing a complete kazayis, even if not all of it is sur, then nevertheless he'd still be chayev. Okay. So now in this connection, more on this topic about offering Sa'ur and Dvash and the Yisurim of it. Itmar, Hamalam is Sa'ur and Dvash HaGabi HaMizbeach. A person offers Sa'ur and Dvash together. So he mixed them and offered them on the Mizbeach. Rava says he's going to be getting a bunch of malchus. Loike Mishim Sa'ur is going to get malchus on the ground that he's on the ground of bringing Sa'ur on the Mizbeach. Now, so Rashi actually is explaining that it means he mixed them together. Tosfos argues that in that case, then if they're mixed together thoroughly, then they're not be'ain, then it's not visible. So now how could he be chayiv for them individually? So Tosfos discusses maybe it means that it is each one by itself, but therefore they're not bottled to one another. And Tosfos says that what it means is it was taka. It means that both he had a certain amount of sa'ur, a certain amount of dvash, and then another thing of sa'ur and dvash mixed together, and he offered all three of them. So now Rava is going to be saying that he's getting multiple malchus over here. So Amar Rava, loikam mishum sa'ur, he gets malchus on the grounds of offering sa'ur. The loikam mishum dvash, also on the grounds of offering dvash. The loikam mishum eruve sa'ur, mishum eruve dvash. And he's also getting malchus because he had something mixed with sa'ur and something mixed with dvash. In other words, we just said because we learn, according to Rava, from Ki and from Kol, that he's chayav for even less than a kazayas, for as long as there's a total amount of a kazayas, even if only part of it is sa'ur, even if only part of it is sa'ur or drash, therefore he's going to be getting four malchus total. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about it was a blend of Sa'ur and Dvash, and what we do is we say the fact is there is Sa'ur in this blend, there is Dvash in this blend, and then there's the fact that there's something that's mixed with Sa'ur and something mixed with the Dvash. So therefore it would be four Malchus. So Tosfos seems to say, Tosfos talks about that there's separate Sa'ur, separate Dvash, and another one of Sa'ur and Dvash together. So again, Tosfos agrees, he's getting four Malkus, but he's getting separately for the Sa'ur, separately for the Dvash, and then two more for the third thing that he brought, which is mixed of Sa'ur and Dvash. But Abban disagrees and says that even Rava would say that he gets only three Malkus. So he would get one for Sa'ur, one he learns like Tosfos, that we're talking about three different sections over here, but he's saying that he's saying that the person would get Malkus the third time would be for Eruv, Sa'ur and Vash, not third and fourth. Okay, that's the point of Rava. Abaya, Omer, Ein Lokin al Lav Shabaklolus. Abaya says, no, a person doesn't get Malkus for a Lav Shabaklolus. A Lav Shabaklolus has a few different meanings, but one of them is when the Torah tells us Loi one time on multiple things. Here it says, Sa'ur, behold Vash, Loi Sakturu Mimenu, so therefore it's called a Lav Shabaklolus. You have Sa'ur and Dvash are included in there, and therefore Abaya says a person can't get separate Malkus, or can't get separate Malkus for that. Rashi points out, if it weren't for the words kol, it's because of the word kol that makes it a lav shabaklolus. Rashi points out, for example, you have a relevant Gemara in Nozir that says where the Torah says mikol asher yo'asim gefen hayayin, anything that comes from a grapevine, a person is chayav malka, and Nozir is not allowed to eat, and is chayav malka, so if he does, and because it says kol over there, then that makes it a lav shabaklolus. If it weren't for that, Rashi says, if it just said, sa'ur dvash lo sakturim menu, we would in fact consider it too lavin, and we wouldn't call it a lav shabaklolus. Tosfos discusses over here, there are many other places in Shas where the Gemara brings up this point of lav shabaklolus and how we say that it's considered a lav shabaklolus or not. One of the relevant ones is in connection with the Korban Pesach. Now, that's a few weeks before Pesach, where you have by the Korban Pesach, it says you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, no or mevushal, half roasted or cooked. So the Gemara has in Pesachim a similar discussion whether if a person ate the Korban Pesach both Na and Mevushal, how many Malkus would he be chayev, or do we consider it a lav for the flawless? There are other Gemaras, by the way, where it's the other way around. Abaya is the one who says that Abaya says you don't get mal, a person doesn't get malchus for lav shabaklolus, and Rava says, or the other way around, where Abaya says that a person would get malchus for lav shabaklolus, and Rava says that not. So Tosfos points out you do have, apparently there are different sugyas about it. Sometimes you have, these are sugyas that have things the other way around. the Rambam, in fact, is consistent and holds that, and the Rishonim have consistently that always Rava is the one who says, Ein Loikin Alav Shabakolus, and the Rambam passes accordingly, because in general the Halacha is like Rava against, Abaya. So Abaya is saying there's not a Malkus for Lav Shabakolus. Well, does he get Malkus at all? Itagami Chodam Yolaki. One understanding is, that it would mean that he gets at least one Malkus, because after all, the Torah does say an issue over here, Lois Saktilu, so therefore there should have to be at least one Malkus, for that. So he wouldn't get two or more Malkus, but he would get one Malkus at least. Actually, Rashi has the Girsa, Ikadami, Tauti Vailoki. One version is that he wouldn't get two Malkus on the grounds of Kol Sa'ur. He would get one for Kol for Sa'ur and one for Drash, but he wouldn't get more than that. So then according to that, it would mean that he would get one Malkus for each of these serving. According to Tosfos, it would mean that he gets only, according to this version, he gets Taka only one Malkus. So one version is that the Ikadamri, others learn, Chodanami Veloki, he wouldn't even get one Malkus, Doholim Yachad Lavik, Lav de Chasima, because the paradigm, the Binyan Av, from which we learn the whole concept of what kinds of Isurim get Malkus, is that the Torah talks about Malkus near the end of Parashas Kitetze, and right after that it has the mitzvah lo sasim show the dishoy, don't muzzle an ox while it's threshing the grain. Now that lav is said singly. You don't have any other lav in connection together with it. So one of the things we learn then is that a lav has to be single by itself, not combined together with another lav. Here where the Torah is telling us two things in one, then therefore it wouldn't be considered a unique lab such that he should get Malkus. So therefore, according to that, he wouldn't even get any Malkus in this case where the Sa'ur and the Dvash were mixed. According to Tosfos, rather, we would say the other way around. We would say that, of course, he's getting Malkus for the Sa'ur by itself and for the Dvash by itself, but he's not getting Malkus for the Tarovus, for the mixture. So to that extent, it wouldn't be considered a lav shel klolus. Rashi points out when the Torah spells out a list of things and says that you can't do them. For example, by Kohen Gadol, lists the four types of women he can't marry: almona, grusha, halala, zona. Then those are considered, that's not considered a lav shel klolus. That a person would get malchus individually for. Because when it says es elo lo yikach, then it goes on each one of them individually. But again, as Rashi said here, where it says kol, then there's the possibility that we could consider it a lav shel klolus, and therefore he may not be getting malchus, and therefore he may not be getting malchus at all, or he may be getting only a very limited number of malchus, not for the tarubis, because the tarubis we would learn is considered a lav shel klolus, and according to this way of looking at it, there's no malchus for a lav shel klolus. In the end, the halacha is that he is chayev for the sa'ur, and he is chayev for the drash. To that extent, we don't consider it a lav shabachlalus, but we do say, for example, he's not also getting malchus for the mixture of it.